Well, it's a great joy to be here with you again. I was here about a year ago, and how quickly the time passes and another year has gone past. We live in, you know, some might view this, as Dean was saying, that, you know, it's a time when there's a lot of problems, and that's true. The last few years since COVID started, there's been a lot of shaking. It may well be that God has allowed that shaking, because where is, one of the questions that people need to ask today is, where is your security? If it's in things, if it's in money, is it in just other things, or in your fame, or whatever it might be, a lot of shakings have taken place. There's a huge increase in mental illness. People are being shaken. Not just older people, young people are being shaken. Problems, problems. There'll always be problems till the day you die. But the truth that God has laid in my heart, and there's 1,000 messages I could choose from. My challenge and my responsibility is to wait on God and to hear from God. Of all those 1,000 messages, what does God want me to speak today? That's my challenge, and every Sunday is a challenge. Hallelujah. To be responsible, I cannot thank God enough for giving me the privilege to minister from this word. He's called me to be a teacher of the word of God. And I've been doing it for 55 years. What a privilege it is. So in this day, when we're surrounded by problems, inflation, property prices, you name it, it's all in job, employment, everything, in our supply chains, everything. You name it. My degree was in economics, and I did some law papers and accounting, so I follow all this news in the papers still. But, you know, in all of that, here's the truth I want you to get hold of. Be purpose-oriented, not problem-oriented. Be purpose-oriented, not problem-oriented. What kind of person are you? Are you a person whose thinking is dominated by problems? Or are you a person whose thinking is dominated by purpose? Let me give you an example from the scripture. Numbers chapter 14. They finally came to Kadesh Barnea, the children of Israel, and Moses sends out 12 spies. They go and they come back with a report. 10 of the 12, majority, 10 of the 12 came back with a bad report. We saw giants in the land, problem one. We were, the cities were sealed up to heaven, problem number two, and so on and so on. What about Joshua and Caleb? Those 12 people were problem-oriented. Joshua and Caleb were purpose-oriented. They said, if God is for us, with us, they will be bread for us. Two out of the 12 were purpose-oriented. 10 out of the 12 were problem-oriented. It wasn't as if Joshua and Caleb didn't see the cities sealed, fortified cities, or these giants in the land. They saw exactly the same thing as the other 10 saw. Yeah, they didn't imagine that there were no walls. They didn't imagine that there was no opposition. No, it was real, but their focus was not on it. God is not saying ignore problems, but neither is he saying exaggerate problems. You keep focusing on the problem and it'll completely shut out your vision. And you know what happens to life? life becomes a constant uphill battle. You never reach the top, we start going down. One thing after another, after another, and sometimes five things come up to you all at once. And if we are dominated with that, I'll tell you one thing, you don't have much joy. You're tired. There's not much enthusiasm. It's just life is one long battle to survive. God never intended that. God is a God of purpose. So the very first sentence of the Bible is a statement of purpose, which is unfolded in chapters 2 onwards. In chapter 1, verse 1, God created the heavens and the earth. And when he created the heavens and the earth, it was for a purpose which the rest of the Bible unfolds. It was a purpose statement. The first statement of the Bible is not in the beginning God had a problem. No, it was purpose oriented. So, and again, where did the problem come? The problem came in Genesis 3. All right, we'll come to that in a moment. But you see, we've got to be purpose-oriented. God is a God of purpose. So let's look at some of the purposes. But I also want to read Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. It says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." God is a God of purpose. So let's quickly now look at some of God's purposes. His creational purposes. When he made the heavens and the earth and human beings and all the creatures on it, it was for a purpose. Creation glorifies God. Hallelujah. And he made human beings in his own image and likeness to manage this earth and develop it for his glory. Hallelujah. It's his creational purposes. Well, then his redemptive purposes. When man fell into sin, there was a problem. And it was a huge problem. Sin is the most destructive force in the world. You can't make light of it. But purpose is greater than the problem. Redemptive purpose. Where do we see redemptive purposes? We'll come to that in a moment. But, all right, secondly, general purposes. And by general purposes, I mean it's for every human being. But it will, of course, apply only to Christians. They're the only ones that can fulfill those general purposes. Specific purposes are, for example, God has called to full-time pastoral work like I'm doing, or Dean is doing, and Gina is doing, or other people may be called to be, you know, an IT person, or might be a plumber, or might be a teacher, or whatever it might be. They are specific purposes. But today I'm going to be focusing on God's general purposes for every Christian. Every person here, these purposes I'm going to talk about applies to you. Specific is what is individual, all right? The third one is individual purposes, just for me alone, or personal, or collective, doing it together. Collective purposes, all right. So there, God's a God of purpose. We must never, never lose sight of that. And I'll tell you at the end, if you really become a purpose-oriented person, or grow in this area, because we can all sharpen our understanding and our commitment to God's purposes. We can do that. So every year, this kind of message to me is like what I call a warrant of fitness message. You do it every year. You go through certain checks. Is it good condition or is it in a bad condition? So this is that kind of message. Or an annual health inspection. All right? Are you good or are you going the other direction? That's the kind of message this is. Okay. So you see, God has got purposes for us. But what happened? Let's move on to the next slide. Okay. have a look at this slide. That line from 1 to 4 is meant to be a straight line of God's purposes. You'll see in the middle, there's dots from 1 to 4. It's because in Genesis chapter 3, Adam fell. Fell into what? Fell into sea. So 2 is going downwards. But then what did God do? We put the cross there. I put the cross there. Through the cross, we come back again to the straight line of God's purposes. God intimated the cross in Genesis chapter 3. You know where it is? The seed of the woman will bruise the serpent's head. That's the first embryo of the gospel in the Bible. And again, when Adam and Eve sinned, how did they try to cover their nakedness? Fig leaves. God rejected the fig leaves. Now, what did God do? He allowed animals to be killed. Blood was spilt. Took the skin of the slain animal and provided us with a covering. On the cross, the Lamb of God was slain to close the shame of our nakedness, unrighteousness, and give to us a garment of righteousness. Sin can delay the outworking of God's purposes, but it can never thwart the purposes of God. So the end of 4, where the arrow keeps pointing down up, means is God's purposes will come to pass. And if every person on the planet, 6 billion of them, heading towards 7 billion, opposed it, it could not prevent God's purposes from coming to pass. The zeal of the Lord will perform this, he says in Isaiah. That's why no matter what we see happening on the earth today, evil cannot possibly have the final say. The triumph of the cross is now being outworked. The red carpet of salvation is being rolled out. And at the second coming of the Lord, God's purposes will come to a culmination. For of him and through him and to him are all things. Hallelujah. If that truth gets a hold of us and we become more and more purpose-oriented, you're a person that's filled with hope. What do human beings need? They need hope. To see the light at the end of the tunnel, no matter how dark the passage might be now, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. It gives us hope. Purpose gives us hope. It's like I liken it to a cork. You take a bucket of water and you put the cork on it, it's at the top. If you put your hand in the grab the cork, push your hand down, it'll stay there as long as your hand is like that. You open it, it's going to come up to the top. Hope is like that. You can't keep it down. It will always come up to the surface. Hallelujah. So you see, the straight line of God's purpose was interrupted by the fall, but through the cross, the Lord brings us back again to the straight line of his purposes. Hallelujah. Let me give you one other illustration, and then we'll start looking at those purposes. In the Old Testament, one of the pictures of the cross is in the book of Leviticus. The first 7 chapters talks about the 5 offerings they were meant to bring. Here are the 5 offerings: sin offering, trespass offering. What does the cross do? It deals with our trespasses and our sins. Not only the actions that we do, but the corruption of sin that's in us. That's what it does. But a lot of people, and I would say a lot of churches, stop at that point. There are 3 positive sides to the cross. Yes, the cross, through the cross, is forgiveness of sin. Very important, but it does not stop there. The positive side is, once our trespasses and sins have been dealt with, what do we enjoy? Peace with God. Positive. That's the peace offering. Then the next one is the meal offering, which means serving God. But the highest offering was the burnt offering. What was that? Absolute and complete devotion to God. The counterpart in the New Testament is Romans 12. I beseech you by the mercies of God, which the first 11 chapters tell us what the mercies of God are, what God has done through Jesus Christ. By the mercies of God, to present your body as a living sacrifice. Let your mind be renewed. And what will you experience? The good and the perfect, the will of God. Hallelujah. So see, the cross is a negative side, deals with our sin. But just dealing with sin will bring us to a neutral place. Purposes are positive. The next three brings us to God's purposes. With that, now, one other thing. Let's move to the next. Right. The word for sin. Did you know this? The most common word for sin in the New Testament is the Greek word hamartia. Okay, is the slide come up? Yes. Okay, it's hamartia. Hamartia is taken from archery. It means when you take an arrow out of the quiver, put it in the bow, you aim for the target. If you miss the target, that is hamartia. So J.B. Phillips, who is one of the translators of the New Testament, he puts it this way, of John 3, this is Romans 3, verse 23. Everyone fails short of the beauty of God's plan. We know the King James one, we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. I think this is more explanatory. Everyone falls short of the beauty of God's plan. What has sin done? Sin has caused us to miss the mark. But now once God redeems us, he wants every single one of us to hit the bullseye for God. Hallelujah. We are like arrows in his hands, in the divine marksman's hand, and he wants to shoot us to fulfill different purposes. Hallelujah. And some purposes are general purposes. Hallelujah. So hamartia means to miss the sin. We tend to say sin is the wrong things we do. That's correct. Sins of commission. But hamartia is sin of omission. What we failed. What we came short of. That's what it means. So now let's have a look very quickly at these seven purposes. All right. So this is a headline message. In one message, you can only cover so much. So very briefly, let me give to you what I consider are seven purposes for every single one of us. How many of you are Christians? Would you lift a hand up? If you're a Christian, this is not a trick question. It's a plain question. All right. If we're a Christian, this purpose, actually God intended this purpose for every Christian. But if you're not a Christian, you need to give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ or you'll never fulfill God's purpose for your life as he intended it to be. All right. So here's the God's purpose. Number one. And number one is number one, not because I said, it's because Jesus said it. Number one purpose is to know and love God. How do it? Matthew 22, verses 37 to 40 are scriptures that I would recommend every single one of us to learn by heart. What's the greatest commandment they asked of Jesus? Jesus said the first order, first and secondly, the greatest, is to love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. And if you had another gospel, Mark, all your strength. This is the first and the greatest commandment. So God has left us in absolutely no doubt. Do you know your first responsibility is not to people? I'll tell you about that in a moment. Your first responsibility is Godward. And then peopleward. First is to know God. Second is to know and love God, because if you love God, you know God, 1 John 4 tells us. If you love, you know God. If you don't know love, you don't know God. But it's God's kind of love, not the world's version of love. to know and love God. This is the first and the greatest commandment. What's the second commandment? To know and love people. The second commandment is like the first. To love your neighbor as yourself. And God explains, you know, in Luke 10, who our neighbor is. Okay, whoa, I better hurry. I've got somebody to keep me up to my time. Okay, to know God, to love people. I see in your value statement there, in a high, your core values, one of your high values is loving people highly. Absolutely biblical. Our first responsibility is not to things. We take a long time to learn that. It's to people. To first to God and to people. God's a person. Human beings are persons. That's our first response. If we don't learn this lesson, that relationship with God and people are the most important things in life, we haven't even learned the most fundamental principle of living. And yet how much of the world is taken up with materialism? Things, as if things can... Things are is a bottomless pit. It will never satisfy. It will always leave you unsatisfied. Okay, well, let's move on. These are all headlines. All these seven are seven messages which I'm giving to you in one. Okay, so it's all only the headlines. To know and love God, Matthew 22, 39 to 40. Number three, to make him known. What's that? Evangelism. Put another word beside it. Mission. Mission. And mission is what we do outside the church walls. The tendency that every church has to watch is for us to become inward looking. You have to be proactive to be outward looking. Hi. Somebody said this. The church is the only society for the benefit of its non-members. Think about that. Hallelujah. It's not just about you and the Holy Bless Me Club. No, we are blessed and strengthened. We gather for worship, we scatter for mission. And that must happen. And yet there's many, many churches who are completely sealed from the world. Just me and those that think like me, but not much responsibility to the world. Never become a church like that. You're not like that. Never become one like that. Hallelujah. Okay, to make him known. Number four, I've chosen the simplest of words that a 12-year-old can understand it. To be like him. That's one of God's major purposes. In other words, to become Christ-like in character. Romans 8, 29. Galatians 5, 22 to 23. The fruit of the Spirit. That is such an important part. And can you see where the problems come, or how God uses problems? God is the greatest recycler of problems. What people meant it for bad, like Joseph, he turns it for good. Hallelujah. You meant it for evil, Joseph said to his brothers, but God meant it for good. Took him a while to understand God's purpose, but he did. Okay, number four, to be like him. Number five, to serve him. To serve means to serve, attend to other people's needs, all different kinds of service. Number six, and of course you see this in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 12, God gives us gifts. We call them, you know, the spiritual gifts. Ephesians 4, ascension gift ministries, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Romans 12, motivational gifts. All right, number six, to rule with him. In other words, to overcome the opposition. Where does opposition come from? Three sources: the world, the flesh, and the devil. We are to build and we are to battle like Nehemiah. Sword in one hand, trowel in the other. Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church. What's the next part? Gates of hell will not prevail against it. Build battle. They go together. Overcome the flesh, which means the corrupt human nature. Overcome the world, not the planet Earth, or the people. It means the world's value systems, which are humanistic. And then the devil, that's pretty obvious. Okay, so that's number six. Number seven, this is a corporate purpose. All right? To be a functioning member of his church and to advance his kingdom. To be a functioning member. Not enough to just have your name on a church roll. You might have it somewhere else. That's just the start. It's, are you a committed member? Are you involved? And I'm taking a series on the place of the church, because what COVID has done, COVID has upset the rhythm of many people when it comes to the church. You know, Zooming is good and is still good for people who can't get to church, but it's no substitute for being in person. Can you say an amen to that?
Yeah.
It's supplementary. It's not a fundamental. It's in person. So many of those patterns have been affected in many churches. So I've been speaking a lot on the place of the church in God's purposes. Okay, so anyway, there are the seven purposes. Now let's come to the final bit. The benefits. If you are purpose-oriented, and how will you know that you're becoming more and more purpose-oriented? What will you experience if you become more purpose-oriented? What will you experience? Seven things, very quickly. All right, one by one. One by one. Can you sequence that one? No, it's not on sequence. Okay. Okay, well, let's get over it. That's fine. Okay. Number one, fulfillment, not frustration. You'll have more fulfillment, less frustration. How many people whose lives are empty? Nothing to live for. What causes you to get out of bed each morning? More sense of fulfillment. And that doesn't finish when you reach the age of retirement. I've reached that. And few of the people I can see have reached that. Does that mean to say, finish? Rusek, when are you going to retire? I ain't going to retire. I'm very happy in what I'm doing. I've already started planning for this year. What I want to minister. What are some of the subjects I haven't even spoken, new ones, I haven't spoken ever in 50 years ministry. Hallelujah. It's no retirement for me. I'm saying not wrong for anybody else. I'm enjoying this. Why want to give this up? So Lord, keep me healthy, Lord, so I keep on ministering. Number two, more sense of peace. And you know, the Bible sense of peace is not just absence of war. It means you are integrated inwardly, not constantly pulling in different directions inwardly. You are integrated. Instead of being restless, the wicked are like the sea, constantly tossed up. No rest for the wicked. Number three, resilience. What's the resilience? You come back again. I like J.B. Phillips on this one too. From 2 Corinthians, knocked down, but not knocked out. I like the translation. Satan can't give you the knockout blow. You'll get up. Look at the Apostle Paul. He went through so much. Read 2 Corinthians 11. Did he lose his zeal? No, he didn't. Okay, here it is, just about finished now. Direction. Not aimless, not drifting, not like flotsam and jetsam on the sea. No, you got direction. Because if you don't have direction, you get easily diverted. And if you don't have direction, you get too much into petty things. You know, small things. Fighting over small things. Getting offended over small things. Why? You don't have a big enough vision, that's why. Sorry, I've been a pastor. I know that firsthand. Pettiness of people in the church, not outside the church. I'm talking about in the church. Little small things that irritate them. What's wrong with you? Not a big enough vision. That's what it is. All right. Enthusiasm, not boredom. Hope, not despair. Rewards. Paul could say, I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I've finished the course. Now is laid up for me a crown of life. Let's bow our heads. Brothers and sisters, everything I've said to you, I've said to myself. I'm in the pulpit and I'm in the pew. Let's bow our heads. Whatever your age might be, for the rest of your life, beginning today, what kind of person are you going to be? Problem-oriented or purpose-oriented? It's not saying in words that are not enough. Are you experiencing what I said about fulfillment and peace, enthusiasm? If we're not, something needs adjusting in your life, brothers and sisters. No matter how long you've been a Christian, because none of us are perfect yet, we've still got to sharpen in this area. But God's looking for purpose-oriented people where there's problems, yes, but we rise above the problem to God's purposes. Purpose precedes problems, and purpose succeeds problems. Father, I pray for the members of the church. Help us to be very honest before you, to examine our lives, that we may maximize our usefulness in 2023, Lord. For your sake, for your kingdom's sake, for the people's sake, oh God, help us to trim from our lives things which might be perfectly legitimate, but it holds us back in fulfilling the purposes of God. Help us to trim our lives, Lord. Take away what hinders us in our running, Lord, that we might win the race with perseverance and with direction. Father, we pray this in Jesus' precious name. Give the Lord a great clap offering as we bring this service to a close.